only a fortunate event because I'd already put myself in that position. So it's like that set where, you know, you have to buy a lottery ticket to win.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. The purpose of this show is to share stories of hardship and victory as an encouragement for those in the middle of their own hard thing. Because we know hardship produces perseverance, which produces character, which ultimately produces hope. Today's guest is Keon Gaharian. Keon is the founder and owner of Dope Ropes, a global jump rope brand based out of the UK. Keon talks about risking comfort and security to leave his job and start his own business. I hope you enjoy the show, and please don't forget to subscribe. Now here's the conversation with Keon Gaharian. When you hear the question, what do? How do you answer that question?
Yeah, well, I guess I say I sell jump ropes.
Yeah,
but yeah, like deeper than that, I kind of, you just say I run my own business at the start, and then they'll usually ask to elaborate, and then, you know, I'll get into the whole story of jump rope, really, about how I kind of have my own e-commerce store selling jump ropes, but also kind of teach and try to give as good information and useful information about jump rope as well, which is kind of as core as providing the jump ropes for me. So
okay.
Yeah, like a 360 e-commerce store, both, you know, providing the product but also giving everything people need to get started and to actually have a good jump rope journey. So yeah, helping people with that.
Yeah. That hasn't always been the case though, right? Like pretty recent that you made the switch to that is what you do. What, because you had another job before.
Yeah.
I think even since I've known you, that switched.
Yes, right? Definitely. Yeah. So it's only May 2021 is when I've kind of fully started to say, you know, I run my own business full time. Before that, I was doing marketing, mainly digital marketing for kind of an entertainment company in the UK, to basically app marketing and e-com marketing as well. And I was doing it as a side hustle with Dope Ropes. Dope Ropes are basically my side hustle with that since 2019. So yeah, it's only really this year where that's been my core job. And I'm still getting used to it. It's probably only been about, you know, 3-4 months. So I'm still quite fresh into this. It's very new for me still.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So being your own boss is a weird change.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I was 21. I think I got my first job at 21 in my, you know, my mid-30s now. So, you know, it's like 13, 14 years of being employed, you know. And
right.
And I got to quite senior positions, but, you know, I've always had like a manager and like someone kind of guiding me and telling me to do this. And, you know, I had some ownership and stuff like that. But yeah, this is like very new and I'm having to do the work and decide on what work needs to be done. And that's kind of a real difference, I think. And
right. The responsibility and burden of responsibility is on you, not somebody else. Like, exactly. So if something goes wrong, you can't like blame anyone else.
No, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so when you, like, if other people in your life get asked about what you do, do they answer it the same way, or do they have a different view and lens on who you are and what you do?
That's a good question. Like, because I actually don't know what they say. But yeah, I mean, I would have, yeah, I assume they say I think running my own business is something they say first.
Okay.
I feel like the jump rope bit doesn't usually come into it, or skipping ropes at the start, because I feel like it's still like, you know, I think what I'm trying to do with jump rope and skipping rope, because skipping rope is what's called more in the UK, to be honest, is you know, make it more kind of known and common. Because I feel like there's that still that stigma here where if someone says it like jump rope, they don't know what it is, so they'll just kind of keep to say, oh, he runs his own business. And unless they elaborate, then they'll explain a bit more. But hopefully one day it's just something that's like a universal thing, like that's as common as like, you know, riding a bike or something like that, you know, as a form of getting, a form of exercise or activity. So yeah, I feel like running my own business is probably what someone would say first, but yeah, I think we'll try and bring the jump rope to the forefront, I think is something I'll do more going forward, I reckon.
Yeah. So you kind of are looking at yourself as a ambassador in a way for do you think of it as a sport or do you think of it as an activity? Ambassador for what?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like, it's a way to stay active as a kind of core thing and a fun thing to do as well. So, you know, it's almost like a fun activity, I would say, for me. And that's kind of what my brand is like core about it. But obviously another side of it is that competitive sport definitely is and can be. So, you know, the amount of kind of variety in it, in that it can be a fun activity you can do with family and friends or on your own, but at the same time you can be ultra competitive and do it as a sport. And you know, like I think there's been debates about it, but you know, definitely an Olympic sport, I think it should be, in terms of, you know, it's got so many different lanes that people can go in terms of speed jumping for one competency, freestyle jumping for another. And so you can kind of and you need really good athleticism for doing some of the real tough stuff. So yeah, I feel like you can make it what you want it to be, really. And like for me, a fun activity is to keep me, you know, healthy and to keep me moving, to move my body every day is something I really wanted to do in my 30s. So, and that's allowed me to do it really flexibly wherever I am. And it's fun, you know, I don't think I've ever done any kind of activity for, you know, more than a year, really. And so I think having consistency with that, and I think it's the fun element that allows me to keep going with it. And foremost, really. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I hear that a lot from people. You know, it's like the idea of unlocking tricks and progressing, but at the same time being able to do it to music and kind of make it your own style, and because it is like just a basic exercise, and the idea that you have to get your feet over the rope. Yeah. There's the amount that you can do from there is almost, or is infinite. Like the amount of combinations that you can always spin it more times, you know, or release it and spin it more, like the ways that you can be creative with it are pretty much endless.
Yeah.
Totally, at this point, anyways, maybe we'll tap you know into all the different possibilities in the future, but it seems like there's still lots of chances to grow it.
Definitely.
So we'll come back to a lot of the jump rope stuff because there's some of these questions later on, but sticking to more of just you and your life, like what are three words, and you can have an extra one or if you feel like there's too few, but three words that you would use to describe your life to this point.
Yeah. So I would say the first one is, I say fortunate, because, you know, it's always important for me to like remind myself that I am like super fortunate. Like, you know, even when we say things are like tough and things are hard, or you know you're not feeling good or stuff like that, it's like, you know, a lot of us now, especially in Europe, the UK, you know, US, and we're just in a really fortunate position to be where we are, like in terms of our, you know, where we're living, our education, healthcare, you know, it's great, you know, just that basic stuff, you know. And I feel like, you know, I'm super fortunate to be in a position where I've, you know, had that education and, you know, well-being, a nice house to live in. My parents have like been great, looked after me. So yeah, definitely fortunate in the wider context of the globe, I think, firstly. And then I've had like a full life as well. Like, so full is like my, I would say, second one, in terms of, you know, I've been able to do lots of different things, been able to travel, do different jobs, meet different people from different walks of life, you know, gone to university and had lots of experiences there. So yeah, I've had, you know, done all the things, you know, that I wanted to do, generally I've been able to do. And so, yeah, that's kind of another one. And then, yeah, fun is the last one. I feel like I've had a lot of fun in my life, and I try to, as much as I can, you know, alongside my work, kind of a work hard, play hard kind of type, to how I like to see myself. So yeah, I feel like that's kind of like me in a nutshell in terms of the three words.
So did you intend to have them all be F's?
No, it just happened that way. Okay. Maybe so, I forced it. Maybe I forced it a bit after I found the first two, but yeah, it kind of, yeah,
The fortunate one is that's just like a good reminder, I think, for a lot of people, right? Of all the things that we take for granted that we probably should have more gratitude for than, you know, we tend to. And it's like the right perspective to hold, because it makes us more thankful. But the full one, you just said a few minutes ago, you're in your mid 30s and you already would say full. So it's like, what, overflowing in the next 30 years? Like, how do you, if you look at your life and you're like, oh man, this has been a good whole life, how do you stay motivated to continue? Is it just you want more of the same, or like, I don't know if you get where I'm driving with that.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. Yeah. Well, I feel like, as in where I'm at in my life now, it's been full, you know. I feel like, you know, I guess the bar can always raise and new experiences can come in and, you know, new chapters come in. But like, I would say with kind of how I expected to be at this stage, I feel like I've, you know, it probably is overflowing at the moment, because, you know, I don't think I imagined that I would have my own business, for example. Like, I mean, that ambition, I mean, it's kind of came later, in late 20s, maybe 30s, really. I was kind of on the rails a bit more in my early days, kind of just following the kind of normal paths and, you know, getting education and stuff like that. And I thought, you know, that's kind of what it was about. But, you know, you discover new things, and like, I feel like this is, you know, this has rapidly come in, and it's been a really amazing like experience for me. So yeah, I'd say it's a bit of both, really. And I'm sure if I can keep full up to the kind of where I'm at in the stages of life, I think that's kind of the main thing. So
yeah,
you know, looking ahead is kind of more about, you know, family and stuff like that. So I haven't got to those bits yet, but you know, obviously that's kind of next waves, I'm sure.
Man, I could ask you a lot of different little questions. I don't want to get super sidetracked, because now I'm just genuinely curious about, you know, you. Like, do you have siblings?
Yeah, I've got a brother, one brother.
One brother? Is he older or younger than you?
Yeah, he's older, about 3.5 years older. Yeah.
Okay. Did you ever envision yourself doing what you were doing even before Dope Ropes? Like, the whole digital marketing thing, was that an intended career path, or did you kind of fall into it? When you were younger, what were you thinking you were going to be doing?
When I'm younger, I wasn't those that didn't really know, you know, what he wanted to do or what I wanted to go into, really. So, you know, I kind of ended up doing stuff I enjoyed as much of the time. So I did a history degree at university, for example, because I liked that one the most at school. And I did film history because I like films as well. So I was just kind of like doing stuff I was enjoying and finding along the way. And then, you know, I got into a kind of a, you know, the digital marketing came a lot after, probably late 20s, you know, until I figured that one out, because I was doing finance for about 7-8 years after university. So I found that when doing finance, it was good, you know, I got good knowledge and really good experience, but I didn't really like it. Like, I felt like it wasn't something that, you know, once I got to like retirement, I don't think myself personally, I would have felt like that's what I should have done, you know. I think I should have tried something. So I didn't want to regret like not trying something different, because I knew deep down I don't think this is my long-term career. And yeah, the marketing thing came up, because I was like, well, you know, it's a lot of data-driven stuff and I'm quite good at that, so yeah, let's give that a go. And I really like that. And it was very, it was quite new as well. It was like one of those like new kind of emerging, and it's kind of prominent now, but it was like quite emerging when I was getting into it. And I quite like that element of it, and just seeing like how quickly it was growing and how you could scale a business like with digital marketing when it was fairly young was like crazy. So,
yeah.
And then that, I guess, gave me the ability to be like, well, you know, I know how powerful these tools are. I think if I can do it for something that I enjoy, you know, there's potential that I could run my own thing. You know, there's obviously a bit of risk to that. So I didn't jump in. Yeah, I didn't scrap everything and be like, I'm just going to try something. You know, I think it's quite sensible to test it a bit on the side if you can, and put the extra hours in your spare time, and then, you know, see how it goes. And then, you know, once Dope Rope started to become equal in like my paycheck monthly, I thought, you know, this is a safer time to go for that and try new things and see if I can learn new skills and grow in different areas like product development and like, you know, interacting with customers and do my other marketing channels, you know, all that type of stuff. And it's allowed me to kind of figure out new stuff and learn more skills as well. So yeah.
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 So what do you think? I'm going to wait actually on that question. Cause I want to get into like the whole Dope Rope story a little bit more. I'll save some of that stuff, but, let's talk a little bit more about you and like jump rope, because it's rare. It's not rare in like, I think the circles that we are operating in for this to be true, but it's rare in the world circles for someone to be so into jump rope as an adventure specifically.
Yeah.
So, when did you get exposed to jump rope? Why? It kind of alluded to why you liked it, but how old were you? What was the first time that you were like, I could see myself doing that?
Yeah. So, I was about 30, must have been. Yeah, probably 20, I think it was 2018. I think it was a Christmas holiday kind of season. Like my brother was over from the US because he's actually US based. Mm-hmm. And he's always been into fitness. Like he did rollerblading when he was younger, really. He used to make rollerblading videos. He got into cycling. He does climbing. But he jumps around a bit and gets like real intense for a few years. And then like for a period of time, he was really into jumping rope, right? I didn't know anything about it. And he'd brought his stuff over from the US and he was doing it, you know, in the garden whilst we were at my parents for Christmas. So I was at that time, I just turned 30. I hadn't really had any exercise like that I did solidly on a weekly basis. You know, I was just kind of walking my dog was pretty much like my exercise before then.
What kind of dog you have?
He's like a rescue dog from Greece. So he's like just a random, he's not really a specific breed from Greece. Yeah.
That's so random.
Rescue dogs. Yeah. Animal dogs and stuff. I like, that's another thing I really like, dogs. So yeah, if I wasn't doing jump rope, we'd do something with dogs. But yeah, he was like, oh, you know, he's probably suggesting, yeah, you should give this a go. It's like pretty fun, you know, accessible. So yeah, I started with that really. Yeah, exposed me to it. I started giving it a go. As everyone else, I was like, you know, really found it hard and terrible at the start in terms of being able to get any consistency in basic bounce even. But then, you know, I think that was like my first exposure, and I found it like, you know, this is great exercise. Like I'm gonna try and keep this up and see where it goes. And so that was the first, really, just like anyone else, really, I think, getting introduced it by a friend, family member. But then the next step was like, okay, on Instagram, I thought I'll go on there, see what's going on. Like, and I started finding people that were like doing pretty cool stuff. So, you know, I guess like Jimmy Says Relax is like one guy, which I think I found early on. And people like that where I was like, well, this is crazy. I didn't even know that was even like a thing you could do. I thought it was just like the standard running in place, basic bounce, crossovers, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
So now I was like, okay, well, how do I do these things, like releases, and started figuring stuff out a bit myself and asking people on Instagram. You know, I figured out that I had the wrong type of rope maybe to be able to do it. I had like a ball bearing, like speed rope, I think, at the time. So I started experimenting with rope types. And then really from there, I started to get better and started to get more confident, started to put more hours in. And I started the website in 2019 because I had all this information that I was getting, but I didn't feel like there was anywhere where it was in one place kind of thing. It was kind of, I was just finding stuff quite like in lots of different places. And I thought, you know, I'll start compiling all the stuff I'm learning as I go. And then, you know, I then found like some ropes that CrossFitters use and freestylers use are different. So I thought, you know, as an easy start, I started reselling existing ropes from the US. So like RX Smart Gear was one. So I thought, you know, that's an established thing. It's not in the UK. I thought I might as well try and, you know, put some existing stuff out there that I think is quite useful for certain modalities of jump rope. It wasn't what I was into per se, but it was just a way to get started, really. Like, I didn't want to spend like thousands and thousands on product development of something I was still didn't know much about, and I didn't have that money. So, you know, I think that was a good route in terms of, you know, get some good information on the website, start with something that, you know, is popular probably in the US and is known, and then see how it goes with that. So yeah, and that's it really, and how I started the website and how I got into jump rope. And then it kind of just snowballed from there really, in terms of meeting more people, getting better, putting more stuff out on Instagram yourself. Yeah. And then developing the brand as well. And it was another thing that started in terms of, you know, right, coming up with the design and branding and how that kind of plays with jump rope. So yeah, hope that answers most of it.
So many follow-up questions from all that. So it sounds like, and maybe there's something else you would attribute to what I'm going to ask, but it sounds like community, even if it was like a social media community, was kind of what kept you going, or gave you the inspiration maybe to keep going. But is there because a lot of people pick up new things, like you yourself, and it sounds like your brother, right? Like, oh, I'm going to do this thing, but the staying power to stick with something for a long time doesn't exist for a lot of activities that we all participate in. So what was it about jump rope, in your words, that caused it to stick?
Yeah, so I think it's a combination of, like you say, I think the community, I think, is important. Because I think that allows you to discover what's the potential of what that thing you're doing. And I think seeing that is something to aim for. And then the other thing is, once I knew that type of stuff, it was like, I think the variety for jump rope for me specifically, like the variety you can do, and like the skills you can learn, there's so many like that you can do. And I think just keep learning a new skill like every week, and like seeing a video of someone and be like, okay, I'm gonna give that a go next week. And it usually takes quite a few sessions to do it. So, you know, those weeks keep going, and like, you know, it just carries on really, because there's always something new you just find, like watching videos, or even come up in your, you know, after a while you can come up with your own like swing on a combo, or, you know, figure out a new release for yourself, or, you know, do something like that. And I think if you have that kind of next step or next kind of combo or next skill to learn from week to week, it kind of gives you something to always give you like a new goal, like to reach. Right. And then by that time, you're kind of just snowballing into like year after year kind of thing. So, and I'm still like learning, and like, it's crazy, like the amount, I mean, I feel like I'm good, but like there's stuff out there which I can't do still. So,
Well, you are good. So
yeah,
that's an appropriate feeling. Yeah. Are there certain people that are like that? Cause you're talking a little bit about like inspiration, right? There's enough that community aspect inspires. So who are the people? You mentioned Jimmy.
Yeah.
Who else out there inspires you or gives you like that next trick to work on?
Yeah, sure. So there's, yeah, like Jimmy's one of them. Like Lauren, who's an affiliate of mine as well. She's ambassador. Like she's always got great footwork stuff to learn. There's Chris as well in the UK, who's really, he's got like very good teaching technique as well, and someone I did sessions with actually as well, like training sessions with before. He's always got a new combo to learn, or you can ask him and he'll come up with something. So I think those people, but yeah, there's too many, there's loads to name really. Like there's another guy called Tonner. He's in New York, I think. He does a really good double under kind of combos and stuff like that. So I watch a lot of his stuff. I think it's Alex from Australia. He's really good. So yeah, like that's just a few names, but like yeah, all those guys and loads more are some of the people that I would check out. And like Mira from Germany, Mira Way, she's got good stuff, and Tori Boggs, all those guys. So yeah,
So
kind of
what's the
similar
trick that
names.
you're currently working on?
So yeah, I still can't do a TJ actually. Funny enough, like it's something that people get to quicker than I have, like for sure. And there's some moves I just struggle with, and I can do quite a lot of triple unders, but this particular one is evading me for a very long time. So I'm hopeful I'll get it at the end of the year or soon.
How long have you been working on it?
On and off for like probably a year or something. Like like, because I feel like I'll get to it and I'll be like, oh, I'll put this to bed for a bit and I'll come back later. Because sometimes I feel like when I don't do something for a while, I'll come back to it and then I'm better, because I've randomly done other stuff that probably aids that move without realizing, is what I found as well. I'll be doing some skill and then I'll come back to it 3 weeks later. I even like get it. So I've got closer. I've kind of done it maybe, but not like, just kind of
Clean.
scrambled through it. But that's one I definitely want to hit. And then generally I'm working on a lot of the releases, but like trying to do them in multiples a bit more. So like in doubles and triples, like mixing it up with that, triple under rotations or double under rotations. Because I think that's another thing in jump rope. You do everything with single unders, you can do everything with double unders, and then you can do everything with triple unders.
And
So that's like
quadruple,
the
there's you just
quadruple,
keep
exactly.
going.
So you keep going, and then once you get to doing everything in doubles and triples, it gets a lot harder, right? So yeah, I'm trying to do certain skills in doubles and triples that I've already done in singles, and as well as backwards. So my backwards jumping is actually pretty, it's not that great. It's one of those things where I wish I would have probably done it in tandem with singles earlier, because now I'm like my backwards is like quite far behind my forwards. So it's you can do more combos if you have equal competency on the both sides and backwards. That's when it gets really interesting. So I'm trying to, weaker side and backwards is something I'm trying to develop a bit more. So yeah, just the basic backwards really is always do the basics, but yeah, backwards toes, backwards leg crosses, that type of thing I'm also working on.
So you're working on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, definitely, yeah, keep it varied.
But you're saying you're talking about coming back to the TJ, and I was my son, my oldest son is 4, and he's just starting with the jump rope, and he was using like a one of mine, so like almost a 10-foot rope, and he could do it because throw it way out in front of him, and by the time it had bounced up, it'd fallen down again, and he could jump over it like swinging underneath. And then I got him like one that fits him, basically like a 6-7 foot rope. And he couldn't do it. Like it kept hitting, bouncing into his legs because he just slammed the thing into the ground. And so we try to break it down, like, hey, you need to jump it this time, jump sooner, or you need to not swing it so hard when it comes, just let it fall over your head, or whatever it was, different ways to try to get it to work. And so he just got like into his head, and he literally couldn't make himself jump anymore. Because he was thinking about so many other things when he'd throw it over his head.
So we like made him stop, slash he was really frustrated, so he stopped, and came back to it, and all of a sudden, you know, he could jump again. It was weirdest thing. Like he like literally couldn't. He like would just one step, you know. It's like, dude, you know how to jump. Just jump. And he couldn't even do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like so many things. So it's like, I think part of it is just getting all that like noise out of your head when you come back to something after a while.
Yeah.
Because you just like overanalyzed it to the point that you can't process it as a whole movement anymore.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, yeah, there's always merit of that, I think, and coming back to stuff, and you get just you don't realize how maybe tired you are or how fatigued you are until you kind of come back to it later as well. Sometimes,
yeah,
get a bit lost.
Are there other things in your life that you apply that to?
I think it can be applied in a lot. Yeah, definitely. You know, I feel like you can get too kind of feel too intense on like a particular task. I always feel like it's good to come back to it fresh, you know. After if you're solid on a few hours, you know, it's good to just take a little break and come back. I think it helps with like pretty much everything. So yeah, I definitely advise taking those breaks if you can, and revisiting stuff that you may have stopped before to give it another go. For sure.
Yeah. You seem like a not in a hurry kind of guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you seem like that from my perspective. Feel that way or not, but.
Yeah, no, maybe I come across that way, but I do try to get things done quite quickly sometimes if I can do. Yeah. And, I feel like it's good to try not to get overly stressed about something. Like, you know, if you don't have to, you know, I used to do probably a lot more, but you know, I think it's good to kind of just think about that and like contextualize it sometimes and be like, yeah, maybe this isn't actually that bad. I shouldn't worry about it too much. What I've done so far is already good. You know, like try to celebrate the stuff that's already quite good. And then, all right, if I get this done, then that's a bonus kind of thing. Attitude is quite good sometimes as well, but yeah. Guess I am.
All right. Well, let's get into, I think probably the two most prominent questions for this. And we'll do just for the sake of continuity, let's just talk about Dope Ropes and how it started. And you mentioned, you know, developing the brand, because that's like probably a whole process. And then if there's are any pivotal moments in the development and growth of what you've created, because at this point it's safe to say that Dope Ropes is a successful business, like that you've started something that's successful. At least I feel like it's safe to say that. Maybe you can correct me if you feel otherwise. But let's, like, how did you develop it? Where did it come from? And what were some of the moments along the way?
Yeah, so so I've kind of explained a bit about like the kind of where
the general idea came from. I've kind of spoken a bit about the kind of the origins of my kind of jump rope journey, and that obviously fueled a lot of the development of Dope Ropes and why I wanted to start it. But as for the brand itself, I think whilst I was, you know, started it with my brother, we were discussing it and be like, yeah, it would be a good idea because, you know, I think the UK is a bit, doesn't really know about this. You know, there's not many jump rope companies here. There's not really good information. So yeah, it started from like filling a gap really in terms of, you know, if there's something that you come across that's missing or that you feel is, you know, inadequate, that's usually a good business idea. Many business stories I listen to is usually about like they're filling a gap that they like they come across themselves, whether that's, you know, during their life, you know, they might be traveling somewhere or they might have a family and they realize, oh, this thing would be really good here because I've been struggling to do it, so I'll do it myself instead, you know. So it's kind of that kind of ethos. But then you know, going back to kind of what I do is, although it's a jump rope company. I'm selling jump ropes. The kind of central idea of it is more about the fun activity side of things and a fun way to stay active. And then it kind of makes you feel like a kid again. And, you know, it's very child, you know, bringing back childlike play into activity and fitness. And so that's where the idea of, like, you know, I felt that the brand should be centered around that idea. And my childhood was in the 80s and 90s. So then the decision to kind of build a branding around that era is essentially coming from that central idea. So yeah, the central idea of the fun activity, childlike play is then that's what I do really. And that's what I'm trying to promote. And the way I do that is through jump rope. You know, the way someone else might be for a different activity or sport. So, you know, that's generally the central idea. So you'll see a lot of the retro kind of branding. Like, I tried to do nods to like video games and old film and TV. And, like, you know, I've got like these old camcorder kind of style glitchy effects and stuff like this to kind of, put some old like 80s, 90s music on. And synthesizers, that type of stuff. You know, try to be a bit fun with the content that way as well. So, yeah, and it's an era I really obviously enjoyed when I was growing up, and like I love some of the nostalgia around it. And like, funnily enough, there's a lot more people that, you know, have the same ethos. And then there's a lot of people in their 30s now, like me, who are, you know, maybe starting their families. They've been working a long time, and they can, and they're the ones that are like, you know, like my core, you know, the 25 to 45 year olds are kind of the ones that are also like, oh yeah, I'm remembering back in the day we used to do this, or back in the day I watched that. So I'm kind of, yeah, I'm kind of appealing to my own generation of adults and trying to get them to remember some of the times when they were having fun, and trying to bring that more into their life, you know. So
right.
That's kind of like where the idea comes from. And yeah, I try to incorporate that into all the jump rope content I do as much as I can. So yeah, that's around the branding side.
So along the way, as you've grown Dope Ropes,
yeah,
what have been the kind of like milestone markers for you when you look back on the last couple of years?
Yeah, so yeah, I say the first one is I think launching the site in 2019, obviously on the back of, you know, that discussion with my brother over Christmas and like launching a site, just getting something out there, and then even getting a handful of sales, like whatever, 5 in a month or whatever, or 10, right. I don't know where it was.
So we bought this.
Yeah, it's like, you know, then you're like, okay, well, there's some people here are like finding this useful or seeing stuff here that's like worthwhile. And I've only really like touched the surface, I think. You know, I was only selling maybe like one CrossFit rope back then, you know.
Sure.
And I think, like, yeah, your first sales are always like good thing. And it's like, okay, well, at least there's something's going on here. Like, you know, and it's hard to get sales. I really would not, if you get some sales, like that's great. Like, you know, for any store, there's many stores that probably get nothing. So, you know, I think having something is, you know, you should really be proud of that. I think don't take it for granted. So, you know, that's one. I think the next kind of, I mean, it's kind of a bit of luck, but I feel like you make your own luck. But, you know, once I've been running the store for about a year, 18 months, you know, still getting a handful of sales, maybe a bit more. You know, the pandemic hit in like March 2020, and then everyone realized at that point how useful the stuff that I've been like saying, like, became extremely useful for millions or more people in the space of a few weeks.
Right.
So, you know, I think that was kind of one of those situations where I guess it was a bit fortunate for me in that instance, an unfortunate event. You know, create luck on something fortunate for me, but at the same time, you know, I've been doing it for 18 months without much success or without loads of sales or enough to, for it to be a living. But I kind of put myself out there, and then, you know, I was in that situation. So it was only a fortunate event because I'd already put myself in that position. So it's like that saying where, you know, you have to buy a lottery ticket to win, you know, you have to be doing something to get some kind of luck. So, I think that was a transformative, thing, because, you know, in the UK especially is when there wasn't really, if you're searching for jump ropes, you know, even with my store, that was very, like I said, I wasn't doing much, but it's still quite a high ranking store because jump rope is a fairly new term. There weren't many companies. People wanted it and they wanted some information about it because it was something they were doing, wanted to get into. So that was a big change, and it was like I had to create new infrastructure on the back of that. I was just shipping stuff from my house, you know, I had to get help from that. It was just like I had to make sure, you know, I had to get more stock in, I had to develop the products, you know. So it was just like a crazy moment of like accelerating the development of the whole infrastructure of what I was doing, really, in terms of both on the shipping side, product development, introducing more products to and colorways, etc. So
yeah,
that was like, obviously, I think that was a lot for everyone who was probably in jump rope. We probably put that one on there.
Right. So. Yeah. How long, back to when you, your first moment, how long was it from when your brother and you first talked about it'd be a good idea to fill this need in the UK to when you had the store up and running?
Yeah, so I think it was December 2018, and I think I probably got the store, I think it was about Q2 2019, so it was probably about 3 to 6 months, I'd say. Yeah.
So pretty quick.
Yeah, it was pretty quick, because I think I got into it, and then I was like, I'd always been interested in, like, business as well. Like, I think I've always wanted to try and start something on myself. Not always, but maybe since, like, mid-20s, I think. Like, I got more into kind of business, like, podcasts and, like, reading about people's business and successes. And then I started to see, like, that shift of, like, because of obviously digital marketing and social media, it kind of allowed for, you know, people, individuals who knew about something or an expert in something to actually make that their own living and business. I feel like the kind of rise of social media and the technological change that we've seen, like, rapidly developing, has allowed for, you know, opportunities like this. And so, yeah, I became interested in just that. I was like, I'm pretty sure I could, you know, there's something I could do. But obviously, I never found something I was passionate about to be able to actually do something. So when the moment I became passionate about this, I was like, okay, this could be like something I could do as well. So, you know, I felt like I had to be passionate about it to be able to create a business about it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some people that maybe can just be like, oh, this product's trending, I'm just gonna find some and ship some. But I don't know, I just felt like that wouldn't last for me. You know, I'd just probably do it for a little bit and then get bored or get annoyed or something. So, but if you're passionate about something, if there's tough times, or, you know, if you get a bit, like, you know, worried about something, or, you know, something goes wrong, you're kind of more stronger to kind of combat those things. If it's something that's you like doing and you're passionate about, right, kind of thing. So, I feel like that's kind of definitely kind of something important that's been able to kind of keep consistent and keep going, basically, as well.
Well, and you talk a little bit about it at the beginning, the importance of teaching people, right? Like, it's not a totally selfish endeavor that you're on right now. There's some altruism to dope ropes and jump rope. Is like, you want people to be successful with the product you're selling. It's not about just some transaction and a few dollars. Like, the intention is that they know how to use it and use it well and enjoy it the way that you enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's just a totally different goal than, you know, a lot of people who maybe aren't passionate about what they're selling. It's the goal, they're passionate about money, or they're passionate about an empire or power and influence, and less so about the good of whoever the end user is for whatever it is they're selling. So
Yeah, definitely.
So back to Dope Ropes. Defining moment two was COVID hitting, and the significance of jump rope as an at-home like exercise and workout option for people.
Yeah.
Were there any others?
Yeah. So I think like, the Lauren Jumps, I think, is another one. Again, like she was someone who came, I think she got in contact in like April, May. She was just like asking basic stuff like that. You know, a lot of people I want to ask me, you know, like what stuff like, you know, I'm struggling with crossovers or something like that. Like, can you just give any advice? You know, like this is the type of stuff, you know, that she was asked. She was like, you know, she started where we all start. And, you know, then seeing the growth of her, like her Instagram account, how she influences so many people to get started. And the fact that she wanted to like do collabs with me, I think that's like a really big partnership I've had and still have and hope to have going forward. So, you know, I think doing like seeing her journey from the start and like doing some collab works with her, I think it was January this year we launched, but obviously we've, she was joined me as an affiliate, like an ambassador, like maybe last summer, I think it was summer 2020. So, yeah, I think that kind of partnership and launching her kind of first collab ropes has been a really interesting one.
Yeah,
especially from like getting that kind of from the marketing side as well. It's been you know, really good, and it really helped like get the brand out there as well. So, and like, you know, doing the flexibility of getting like custom stuff for people and stuff like that, and you know, has been. Yeah, really, really big moment, I think, as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So those are the three. Mm-hmm. When you look back on it, it's been, you know, not a huge length of time at this point, like still relatively new.
Yeah.
In the scope of like a lifetime. But what was hard? Like what have you learned as a result, or how have you grown when you think about the challenge, because it is a challenge of starting your own business and then subsequently trying to keep it alive and grow it and have meaning.
Yeah. So was that like, what do I find kind of hard at the moment, or like going forward, what am I trying to do?
I think I'm looking back still. So what have you found to be difficult in the process? Yeah. And then we can get into more of the
So, well, within the last kind of 18 months, I guess, specifically kind of dealing with growth rapidly has been like really difficult. Like, it's been obviously amazing and like, you know, a good problem to have, but it's been a bit like wild kind of figuring out stuff on the fly a lot of the time. Like I said, I had to literally create a whole kind of fulfillment stuff, and pretty much I had to get that live like immediately, like within a few weeks, and working with partners to do that. So yeah, getting all that stuff kind of set up was hard, and like importing goods, like I'd only imported like small quantities of stuff. So like, then it was like, when I started importing stuff, they like, people was asking me for like random numbers and business numbers and like tax stuff, and I was like, I was just doing some basic like really small stuff before, so then I had to kind of, you know, read up on my taxes and all that kind of financial and tax infrastructure. Luckily I had some background in finance, but you know, this is different. So yeah, I was kind of figuring out a lot of infrastructural things that were, you know, really new for me. So yeah, and then obviously customer service, like never done that before. Like, again, with when you're selling a handful of stuff, you know, you have conversations with people, like it's not a big deal, but like, you know, now you've got a lot more people and they're asking you stuff, and it's like, it helps because, you know, there's stuff that's being asked that's really good questions. And then that helps you develop, okay, I need all this stuff on my website because obviously I thought this stuff was there, or I totally missed this, you know. So
yeah,
it reveals loads of gaps, basically. Like I had to fill up so many gaps in the content I had. So, you know, then I had to start making videos, and I'm not really like, my video editing skills are like minimal. I use kind of mobile apps and stuff. And also I'm generally like an more introvert type person. So like, you know, I had to really like, it's more effort for me to kind of be on camera and to talk through things and stuff like that. So, you know, I had to get in front of the camera and like kind of show people how to do things about jump rope. So, right. You know, there's been so many different like hard things to kind of manage and deal with and learn on the go, but you know, it's better because I've been forced to like learn new things that are kind of really useful now. So,
right.
You know, that's just a handful of things, but there's plenty of other stuff.
Sure, yeah. So, broadening the question beyond just dope ropes and the business as it is now, like your life, what's the hardest thing in your life that you wouldn't take back?
Hardest thing, like, well, I think doing the basically like the last thing I've just done that's been hard is basically running my business alongside my main job during a pandemic. I mean it was crazy, and like, you know, I was waking up at like 5 and probably going to bed at 10 most days for like quite a long period of time, with like straight work, you know, not much free time. But you know, I think I'll do it again just because of where the opportunity it's given me now, to realize, and the flexibility to have this like new lifestyle that I've kind of got. And you know, it's something that I think I really enjoy, and it's been a really life-changing moment, you know. And so I definitely would do that again if I had to. I think it is tough, but I think it's been worthwhile.
So sure. was it hard mostly just because it was a lot of work, or was it hard because it was unknown, the outcome of it? What made it, what was the most significant part of what made it difficult?
I think it was, yeah, it was difficult for, yeah, the work, obviously, it was a lot of hours. So that was one thing. But I think one of the main things was also just, it was tough on like, just your kind of almost your family life as well. You know, like I really was not spending as much time with like family or friends as I would have liked to, or keeping some, you know, connections that maybe I could have, you know, talked to people more or kept in touch more, or, you know, did more stuff with my partner and stuff like that. I think that was difficult because I was in a situation where, you know, I had something that was there, the demand was coming in, and I had my main job as well, but you know, I couldn't really just quit straight away because I didn't really know where it was going. So there was an unknown element to it. So I kind of had to just kind of grind it out for a period of time, and just with the aim of like, you know, I'm going to, you know, get this time back in terms of hopefully one day it will be something that I can do full time. It was tough. I just had to kind of react to, it was very reactive at the start in terms of just reacting to it and doing as best I could, and mm-hmm. do that for a while. And then slowly, once you start built the infrastructure and processes, that after about 3 to 6 months, it got better. And then luckily with lockdowns, it was like, there was not that much to do outside. Right. So there was an excuse there of like, well, okay, I'm not doing as much stuff, you know, holidays or, you know, doing stuff with family, but at the same time, you couldn't do that. So, you know, I got a bit lucky there as well in terms of, okay, this is time where I literally can't do anything else. I could sit and watch Netflix and play computer games for like 5 hours or my spare time, which would be really fun. And I probably would have enjoyed that, definitely. But I thought, you know what, I've got an opportunity here that's like landed. I might as well take a shot at it, you know, and do something useful with this time I have. So I feel like, you know, yeah, it was super hard, and you know, there's some things that I sacrificed, you know, to make sure in terms of my time with that, you know, with both my enjoyment or with spending with time with friends or a partner. But you know, I think they understood, and like they knew how big of an opportunity it was. And I think, you know, that's kind of what kind of got me through it in the end, in terms of just making sure I kind of maximize that opportunity.
Yeah. So what were some of the conversations that you had with friends, family? Was it, hey, what are you doing? Or was it, you know, how did some of those conversations go?
Yeah, no, I was just trying to keep them. Well, like with my mom, like she was helping me before. Like she was doing like a lot of the shipping for me back in the day. Oh, yeah. It was like a handful of dishes. Like, you know, she was like taking stuff to the post office and things. So yeah, and I was actually at my parents' house when the lockdowns hit at the start. So I was with my mom and my fiance. Yeah, and I think because they were there as well, they were seeing it, and I was saying, look at all this stuff that's happening and stuff. So I think I just kept them, you know, involved in a certain way. My mum was well involved at the start. She was kind of packing all these orders with me and like helping me get them all sorted out. And I think they understood, like, you know, this is the interest in it. You know, they saw jump rope and skipping on TV and stuff like that, and like they knew I was kind of definitely had a lot of interest in my brand. So yeah, I think just keeping them, you know, involved and like explaining what was happening, explaining that, you know, I'm going to have to work on this after work because I've got my main job. I need to make sure overall the customers are happy. You know, I've got partners in the US that I need to talk to in the evening, my time. But, you know, I think it's such a good opportunity that, you know, they were supportive ultimately of the end goal. So, yeah, just keeping them informed and like try to just give them a heads up of like, you know, this is going to be like this for this time. And yeah, it's, a lot of it was unpredictable with like lots of spikes and troughs and stuff. But yeah, I think, yeah, I just try to keep them informed really and like keep them involved as much as I could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were there any conversations or was there any advice that you got in the process that was helpful for you?
To be honest, like I had to kind of work a lot of stuff out myself in the large part because it was obviously I didn't have a business partner as such. It was like my own thing. So I had to rely on a lot of my own kind of guidance in a way. But, you know, again, I'd probably say just family and my fiance in terms of sometimes I needed like help on certain decisions or, you know, especially around like when I wanted to actually quit and do it as my main thing, you know, I'm like, I needed to get guidance on that and like make sure they were happy and, you know, make sure it was the right decision and, you know, make them aware of like, this is a potential changes and, you know, the income is going to be unstable maybe. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, enough or I don't know if it's going to continue, which I still don't know now, but it's kind of, we're going along with it at the moment. But yeah, I feel like I always get guidance. I got guidance on that type of stuff. I think it was really useful to talk through with my family on that particular decision. A lot of the choices around like my product as well in terms of the colors I was choosing, the type, how I marketed them, you know, stuff like that. All the creative side of things is, again, it's not a strong point in terms of creative. I've always had support and all the jobs I've done on creative and like imagery, stuff like that. And that was one area where I always sought guidance from, you know, my fiance or others that were in the creative field. So any area that I was like felt like I was not as developed or had weaknesses, I always kind of sought you know, which color looks best here, you know, what color printing should I put on this, or which color should I mix with this, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I knew what my core colors were, but like the stuff around that, which I always, even now, like get support on. But like in terms of like, you know, business, finance, the actual digital marketing and data stuff, it's stuff that I, you know, I'm confident I know quite a lot on and I'm good at. And I felt like I could kind of lead myself on that. There's a few colleagues like in the digital marketing kind of space that I've tried to get in touch with from time to time, but you know, a lot of those guys are super busy as well. So it's like sometimes it's difficult to get guidance on certain things, but you know, there's always forums and there's a few groups I'm in, you know, I'm on in Facebook ads and like e-commerce that I always just write a note. Sometimes they don't get back to you, but sometimes they do. So it's not guidance I rely on, but it's, if I have a question, I always put them in those kind of forums. So yeah, I think if you have a good group, you know, there are groups I want to be part of that are really good. So I'm always trying to look on the lookout for new ones, but there's some really good online groups that have general useful information that pop up. But in terms of stuff where I need to seek questions and answers myself, it's kind of mainly family support networks.
Yeah.
So
what advice would you have for somebody who's in the middle of their hard thing, right? So you've gone through this difficulty of trying to navigate a change in career and starting your own business.
Yeah.
Somebody else may be in a totally different, difficult situation. They may be in something similar. But what advice would you have for someone?
Yeah. So I guess I would look kind of like to themselves a bit, like in the initial instance, like kind of just reflect on it, because a lot of difficult situations or things you're experiencing, you know, I think are made easier if you actually just reflect on like why you're doing them in the first place. So, you know, it could be that this difficult thing is even more difficult, or, you know, can't overcome it, because maybe that intrinsically that thing they're doing may not be right for them, or maybe they shouldn't be working on that, you know? So I think it's always good to just double check, you know, what I'm actually working to here, and what is it actually something I'm passionate about and want to do, and what's my kind of like end goal with it. So I think that helped me a lot, was, okay, this is crazy. I'm doing all this work, like, you know, and then I reflect and I'm like, well, you know, the potential is that, you know, I can have my own business that is something that will be able to support me financially one day, you know, that I will give me the flexibility to maybe live or work anywhere I want, and allow me to develop new ideas and like launch my own product lines and other things like clothing maybe, and keep getting more people into jump rope. I'll be able to teach people more. I'll have more reach to be able to get jump ropes in the hands of people across the globe, you know, stuff like this. So yeah, I feel like the first thing is just to make sure that I'm spending all this time and effort on something that is worthwhile. And then remind yourself of the reason you're doing it. And if it is, and it's, if it's positive for yourself and for the globe or whatever your main passion is, then yeah, then I think that kind of will get you through it, to be honest. I always seek out, you know, people that are close to you for support and advice and guidance. Like I always use my close family members if I need it. So, but yeah, I think that's the main thing, is just make sure it's, you know, you are using your time as effectively and something you definitely want to do. And if it is, then, you know, you usually get through it, and you'll get through the other side, you know. There's so many complicated things. Like I always look to, like, you know, the stuff we've done as like humans, like, you know, getting to the moon in like the 1950s and stuff like this, and all the crazy technology stuff. It's like, you know, these people have done some incredible stuff, you know, and I think, like, you know, if they can do these things, you know, it's possible, you know, to get through it. And I think I can, you know, you kind of give yourself confidence by seeing, you know, as well what others are doing. And, you know, everyone's going through hard times to get to their end goals. So I think that's something to kind of also just be mindful of, is something I try to remind myself, you know, what others have done as well. But yeah, first you look to yourself and just make sure it's something, yeah, that this is definitely worthwhile, and remind yourself why you're doing it, and then take it from there.
Yeah. So reflect on the why.
Yeah.
And then that last piece, it sounds like, I mean, I would phrase it as look outside yourself so that you can have the right perspective. And I don't know if you would agree with this statement or not, but a lot of times, you know, our hard things feel bigger and harder when our eyes are focused on ourselves. Mm-hmm. But when we can like kind of get outside of ourselves and look around, we recognize, like, it just gives us the gift of perspective.
Yeah.
You know, it could be harder, or it could just be a different hard that I don't actually want to deal with, or I'm not prepared for, or whatever that perspective needs to be, right?
Yeah.
It gives you the gift of getting through it.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, and that's kind of honestly the hope of this effort that we're on right now is, sometimes we just need other people's stories and experiences to offer the perspective. So like somebody, you know, Lord willing, somebody's going to hear this story and they're going to be in the middle of their difficult thing, and they're going to have a gift of perspective that, hey, it's hard now, but there's goodness that comes on the other side of the hard thing.
Yeah.
And Keon sitting here can say to you, having been through it, this is what that looks like. Yeah. And, you know, that's the hope of all of this, is that somebody will be encouraged in the middle of their difficult thing to have the right perspective. So, for sake of time, I'm just going to do two more questions.
Yeah, sure.
So, one of them we'll do is, how would you define this idea of doing hard things? Like when you hear that phrase. And the second one is kind of piggybacking off what we just were talking about, but is, have hard things become easier the more you go through them? So let's start with that one. Like as you've gone through more and more difficult seasons or experiences in your life, you find them to be easier, the more you go through?
So I'd say it's a bit of both, actually, in all honesty. So I think there's some things that come up again that may be similar to something you dealt with before. And the first time you dealt with it, obviously you're all new, you don't know what you're doing, you're kind of figuring stuff out, and it's harder. But then you can take elements of that into a new thing. So I guess an example of mine is, like, you know, I had my UK store, I've launched in the US, I figured that out, and I've, you know, I want to try and figure out, you know, Europe and Australia hubs and stuff like this. I've got some confidence and knowledge around what is involved from others, and I've known, like, kind of what I've done on those, and there'll be slight differences because they're different countries, but the concept of what things I need to, like, figure out are generally going to be in the same kind of arena. So I feel like, you know, it's going to be easier in the context of, like, you know, okay, I know what I need to do, but then they'll still be hard because, okay, I need to figure out some nuances with, like, taxes and duties in that country, maybe, or, you know, I need to find new partners to work with, and that's going to take some time. It's going to be hard because, you know, I don't know anything about this country or who's there. I need to get some recommendation, talk to them, and all this type of stuff. So it's still a long run. It's still like a long road to kind of figure it out, but at least you've got like a good base knowledge of how it should go. But then equally, I'm going to come up against something completely new, probably, that I can't really grab any kind of information from, like, before, that is going to be probably just as hard as, like, you know, anything else I've done before, or harder, you know? So I think it really depends on what you're doing and what comes up. And I guess I'm trying to do this, like, clothing kind of stuff, you know. I've got one t-shirt on here, but, like, there's stuff I want to do with clothing, but it's all new to me, and I'm, like, figuring it out, and it's completely different from obviously the jump rope product development as well. I mean, I've got, it's hard to actually take some experiences of that because I think it's very new, you know, lines I'm working on. I'm trying to, you know, figure out sustainability and like
right.
eco-friendliness and like local manufacturing, because I don't want to maybe go to China. I want to try and get some local people to figure out and, you know, do some clothing for me and stuff like that. So yeah, I feel like there's less that I can kind of draw on with that kind of thing. So yeah, I think it's a bit of both really. Like, yeah, and I think it's a good thing, because if you're finding stuff that's, you know, still there's difficult or stuff, that means you're doing new things and you're learning new stuff. And I think it's always good, like, to have that challenge, you know. So
right.
I would try and I think it's always a positive. If everything feels easy, then it's like maybe you're not doing the right thing, or the stretching yourself or finding new stuff to do and learning new things. So I kind of like looking at it that way, I guess.
Yeah. So this isn't one of my two questions, but does life at this point, do things feel easy, or are you still in the middle? You talked about the clothing stuff specifically, but we're 50-50. Yeah. What do you think?
No, I don't know. Some things like I think, no, I don't say it'd be easier. Right? I think like there's things that have become easier. Like I've got loads of infrastructure in place, and it's like, you know, I'm confident orders can go out. And like, if I like left the business and like, you know, didn't do many hours on it a day, I'm pretty sure it'd be fine. Yeah. And I wasn't in that place 6 months ago. However, the new challenges are like, you know, actually, you know, how am I going to scale this, like with marketing? And that's like more marketing, you know, that's like really complicated, like expand to new markets and do more in the markets that I'm currently operating in. You know, that's harder. I think like the scaling question is always sometimes harder than the actual getting set up in a way.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that's probably going to be harder, like, than what I've gone through, maybe, to actually, you know, it's not as like, you know, hopefully I'm in a position where my baseline is enough to kind of make a living for me. So even if I fail with the scaling, I've got something to fall back on. But, you know, you never know that. So I don't have my main job as income anymore. So I've got that kind of, I don't have a fallback as such. So yeah, it's I guess it's easier in the context that, you know, I'm pretty sure the business is pretty stable if I don't work on it too much. But at the same time, I might miss opportunities. You know, it's my main income. I need to be working on this and growing it and trying to find new ways to grow it. But a lot of the scaling efforts, like from my experience in marketing, like, you know, a lot of your marketing efforts like generally fail, or a lot of your ad creatives like generally fail. So you kind of have to put a lot of investment up to figure stuff out there, and you know, platforms emerging to figure out, like TikTok and things like that, and, you know, figuring out how much to invest in them, and, you know, which markets they're going to first, and, you know, which is worthwhile having a distribution center in. So yeah, there's loads of hard questions to answer on the scaling side that I think are actually harder. I think there's some sportsmen get asked, you know, like they find their second time, like, or holding a title or getting another gold medal, you're even harder than the first one kind of thing. I think it's kind of that situation with you know, trying to kind of keep it consistent, but also do new stuff and grow it as well.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I love the idea that, you know, like if things are easy, you probably should, like, that should be like a little smoke alarm. You know,
if you
look around your life and you're like, oh, life is easy. It's like, you should hear the smoke alarm going off.
Yeah, and it depends. Like, if they want it to be like, if that's their goal though, then that's fine, I guess. You know, so some people are, you know, different in terms of what they want to do as well. So it's like, you know, if that's their aim, I was like, I want my life to be easy and I'm happy, then that's all good.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly. Good, right? But we could probably confidently say there's no growth. You know, and it's like, okay, yeah. So personal preference at that point.
Yeah.
All right. Last question.
Mm.
When you hear the phrase "do hard things," what comes to mind? How would you define that?
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of touched on it before, but I think what I think of is actually that kind of approach of embracing like discomfort and choosing the harder option rather than like taking the easy way out or easy approach. So I think generally, like, you know, there are easy options to have in front of you. And there's also a harder option. I think the harder option, I think more often than not, will probably be the best one or the right one or the one that's got potentially a better outcome for you in the longer term. So yeah, I think it's just that case of, you know, when you're presented with something, you know, consider not taking the easy way out, and actually saying, you know, actually, if I do something a bit more difficult or something new, a new solution here, is it going to have a better long-term effect? So yeah, that's kind of what I think of when I hear that.
Thanks for listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. We hope you're encouraged today and have a newfound hope to persevere. Be sure to subscribe for more great episodes and conversations. And if you ever want to watch an episode, check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/ElitesRS. Have a blessed day.